Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, June 28th, 2013. 2013 has kind of been a year of contrast the first 6 months. 6 months ago, we were talking about record low temperatures in Tucson. Five straight nights below 25 degrees. My garden is still trying to recover from that. And that, look at us now with an excessive heat warning, but it's not just Tucson. Death Valley could be pushing an all-time record for the United States, which would be over 130 degrees. So it's all relative, folks, right? Anyway, it is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and you can catch our program live streaming at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. And we're very proud of the fact that we make the program available on three different websites: my site, buckmastershow.com, and tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com, all podcasting for you. And we link to the program at gvnews.com. Our friends at Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, also a link at blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us. Joining me to question the mayor, Mark Evans, speaking of tucsoncitizen.com. Mark is the administrator of the Gannett Corporation-owned tucsoncitizen.com, which is a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is a proud contributor. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040 for the mayor. First of all, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, trying to keep cool.
Trying to stay cool. And then, Mayor, it's all relative, isn't it? We could be in Death Valley.
Well, we could, but I'm glad to be in your air-conditioned studio.
Yes, it's very nice. You came out with, when you first took office, a 360-day, what you call a 360 plan. And today you kind of updated it, a progress report. Of course, the 360, we're past the 360,
well,
Mark.
Well, I originally started with the 180.
Oh, 180.
And we did that. And
did
now,
the 180.
And now we've been in office, it's really 19 months, somewhere we gave ourselves an extra month, but but we've been in office 19 months, so this is basically the year that followed that first 180 days.
It's impressive. I was just over all the highlights. I mean, there's at least three pages of things that have been accomplished. What do you kind of put at the top of the list?
Well, the report, the summary report you have really is some of the highlights that I had, that three-page report. The full report is 24 pages, and it's not all accomplishments. It's, a lot of it discusses just the people we've met with, what we've learned, but there's a lot of other highlights in there. But what I put at the top is settling the Rio Nuevo dispute, which really gave us a platform for moving forward on downtown. And if you go downtown and the people that are seeing it, including four pretty major construction projects that are going on downtown, and we highlight those in the report. I took great pride in the trip we took to Mexico and the ongoing relationships we've had with Mexico. We're getting ready to go again in 2 weeks. And last year when we went, Bill, we were talking about how to end the bitter talk between Arizona and Mexico. And I think we really did a lot with Mayor Stanton in Phoenix to change that conversation. This year, we're really going down to talk about how do we bring Mexican businesses to the United States? How do we bring United States importers and exporters to Tucson as a logistics hub? How do we get direct flights into Mexico? So we're going to start to try to concentrate on getting those kind of results. You know, the last thing that it was very critical, and when I say the last thing, our report will be up on our website today, and we'll put out a newsletter to all the people that follow our newsletter. Passing the road bond issue and starting to fix the roads. I would put those as the three biggest accomplishments. The only other thing I'd like to say about that, Bill, when you read the whole report, this is not something that I did by myself. This is something that I had help from my city council. Some of these were other council people initiatives, the city administration, the city staff. This is really more a report of the progress of Tucson.
And I didn't realize the road bond, the five-year program, really begins now with a new fiscal year on Monday.
Yeah, one of the things that we did last year was we were able to restructure some of our bond debt. And so what you've seen on Speedway, Campbell, Broadway, I believe South 12, is really before we've even hit the road bond issue. So, and we have a lot of work to do. I mean, we're going to do that work for 5 years. The goal is to do it on time, on budget, just what we laid out to the voters we were going to do. the challenge will continue. We have a lot of work to do with our roads.
Here's Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com.
So building on your comments about the economic benefit that we could receive from Mexico and improving our relationship with Mexico, you've talked in the past about improving the ports of entry down along the southern border with how their choke points and the like. Are you concerned at all about the immigration bill that's going through the Congress right now? They're not really talking about the ports of entry. They're talking about throwing money at the border to appease certain immigration hawks, to improve border security in order to get this thing passed, and perhaps improving the ports of entry is falling by the wayside. What are your concerns about that? Is there anything that the city can do in terms of its lobbying efforts to try and get that conversation back onto the immigration bill?
Yeah, Mark, I am a little concerned, and it's a tough situation to be in because the parts of the bill which were the original bill, which are not perfect by any means, but they're a big step forward, and all of that is still in the bill. The idea that we need to put 20,000 people on the border, and I'm talking on a micro level, not a Tucson level. You know, I'd like to see my federal resources be elsewhere, but it still has to go through the House. I think in the House they're going to see other difficulties arise, but I know there's going to be some movement in the House to try to move that a little and try to allocate a little better between security and what we need for border trade. And so we'll see how that goes. What's going to if it passes, even in the form it's in now, Mark, I was just down in Guaymas several weeks ago and met with the Port Authority down there. The Mexican government has authorized the funds to double the size of that port, and they're doing it. So that is a reality, and we are going to start to see that traffic come up. And as that traffic comes up, you're right, the pressure is going to be on our Nogales port to have the infrastructure we need there, or you can veer to the left to Tijuana, or you can veer to the right towards McAllen. So that's going to be a continual focus.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday Focus interview with Tucson's Mayor, Jonathan Rothschild. Let's go on out of the Buckmaster Show live line. I think Carl is up with us. Carl, you're with the mayor. Go ahead.
I had a question about the trolley cars. The company that's manufacturing them is apparently having major, major problems, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to actually produce the cars, especially on time. What is the fallback plan for that, especially since they're supposed to have X amount of a percentage manufactured in the United States, and they're the only company that meets that contract requirement?
Well, actually, Carl, I've been meeting with the Federal Transit Administrator, Peter Rogoff, and we've been on the phone with all of the executives of Oregon Ironworks. We had them appear before our council, I think either last week or the week before. The first car should be here in August. It's an 8-car system, and we have to have all 8 cars up and running. The last car is scheduled to be here in March of this coming year, and they have assured us that they will be on this schedule. We do have a liquidated damages clause, which we're imposing. If they stay on schedule from where they're at now, that will probably mean about $900,000 or $1 million to the city, which will help. I think they're going to do the job. This Oregon Ironworks is not a small company. They're one of the largest federal contractors. They make hydroelectric dams. They do a lot of work for the federal government. And the good news for us is that their project after Tucson for the modern streetcar is Washington, D.C. And I'm pretty convinced they're going to be ready, and Tucson's going to be in good shape.
So the cars will be running when then for the system will be fully up and running?
Yeah, it is. We were very clear with the folks from Oregon Ironworks. We cannot go past July of a year from now, because part of the economic success or the economic making this work is the University of Arizona. I mean, they're really the primary user, and we're having a lot of conversations with the university. But the university is saying, look, we're not going to go market something until we know it's going to be on for that school year. So we've been very clear with them. And they say that if you get the last car up in March or April, you will not have a problem running by July. So about a year from now, what's going to be deceiving and frustrating to people is you're going to see, starting in the fall, a car running down the tracks and being tested. But we're
so you can't hop on board right then?
No, you're not going to be able to hop on board.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for the mayor, now is the time to make that call. And I wanted to go back to road repairs. There was some confusion about what's the average time to fix a pothole in the community.
Well, and I was
There's been some confusion about how long it takes.
Well, I was glad that Mr. Miranda wrote the editorial he did today. There was a piece that ran last week. And by the way, the reporter got information out of a report, asked somebody at the city about it who probably didn't research it enough. And so there was a report out that we were taking an inordinate amount of time to fix the potholes. I immediately went to Mr. Randa because that hasn't been my experience when I get those complaints. And in fact, as it turns out, for current complaints that we get, we're at about 72 hours. Now, it's not, you know, there are
so it's not over a month.
No. Now, there are, you know, okay, on sure. Grant Road, which, you know, has a lot of work to be done as an RTA project, it's not like every pothole is going to be fixed tomorrow. But if we see a specific problem that we're notified of that we can go out on, I'm now told, and what Mr. Miranda said in the paper today was about 72 hours.
Why don't we take a break right here? Coming up on 12:16, we're with the mayor, and Mark Evans is here. We will continue with Mayor Rothschild after we hear from the great lineup of people who have committed themselves to this program. We're so very happy for that. Please support them. Thank you. We're right back.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It's Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus newsmaker is the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. With me from our pool of outstanding contributor reporters, Mark Evans, TucsonCitizen.com. Mark, you're up to the plate.
So I wanted to follow up on a comment you made about the U of A being downtown and its connection to the streetcar, because the U of A and the streetcar are symbiotic and they both will support each other. So the U of A escaped a lot of the scorn that both the city and the Rio Nuevo board got over the Rio Nuevo follies of the past decade or so, even though they were a major player in a lot of the money being spent and nothing to show for it. And then there was hope that they would help provide for the funding of the annual operation, the streetcar. Then they backed out of that. And then now they're going to the voters and they're asking for a downtown campus and some buildings that are being constructed that are being paid for by the county rather than by the state. So what's the situation with the relationship with the U of A these days and its relationship to the streetcar in downtown? I mean, it seems a little extraordinary that they've backed out. They had these other two problems. Are we to forgive their sins and let them do this building downtown, which could benefit downtown and the streetcar? So there's good on the one end, but on the other end, they seem to be not owning up to their past problems.
Well, there were a set of questions in there.
Right.
The first is, I have a good speaking and working relationship with the president of the university. I think she is learning the community. And as you know, we are a quirky community. I have talked to her at great length about some of the representations that I believe were made by administrators, former administrators of the university, about the streetcar and how that was important to the city actually in going forward with the grant.
Right.
She has explained to me that, times have changed and there was nothing in writing. But what she has said is she is committed, and we will see, but I believe her, that she will have her staff market to the university staff, faculty, and employees the streetcar passes. And if we can sell 20,000 streetcar passes at $80 a shot, per year, that goes a long way towards helping us get where we need to be. So we're having those continuing conversations. As to the downtown project, I would love to see the university downtown. I think we all would. I think that people are piling on Mr. Huckleberry with regard to the bond project, and it is going to be up to that county bond committee. The city has formed its own bond committee, and I think this will be part of our discussion because it is part of a city thing. And you have to do something that the voters are going to vote for. And I think there would be questions about that kind of contribution. Could there be a smaller contribution as part of a county-city bond package, which would help bring the university downtown? I think so, but it needs a lot of work. You're right.
Caller Sheldon has, speaking of downtown, he wants to know if there are any plans for a stadium downtown. Is that what your question is about, Sheldon?
And also to add additional rooms in the TCC to attract more conventions. A member of the county bond committee suggested that there be a ratio of 30 rooms to 10.
Okay.
To construct more rooms.
All right.
And also the rectangular stadium, even John C. Scott referred to that. You would have an indoor stadium patterned after a successful stadium in the city in Colorado, according to the sports guy.
Okay. Sheldon, we're kind of tight on time. A couple of questions in there for the mayor. Anything about a stadium in the future for downtown?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised to see that. I mean, there has been conversation at one time with the university. There's other folks that are talking about a hockey arena downtown in that arena space, but that's a way long shot.
But he does bring up something good about the TCC.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that in our settlement agreement with Rio Nuevo, they committed $6 million to help fix the arena. Apparently, they're going to bring us a proposal next week for $7.8 million with a specific plan. And so that's good. But again, it's just the beginning of what's really needed for that.
And then you have the downtown developed property owner, Alan Norville, who's been talking about for nearly 20 years about a downtown hotel.
And it is my understanding that, you know, Mr. Norville has a proposal. I have not seen it, and we will wait to see it.
So for the TCC, did you not – so the listeners understand the relationship. The Rio Nuevo Board controls the TCC. They own it, right? But you lease it and run it.
Correct.
So – but the Rio Nuevo Board is going to pay the money to renovate it, which
Correct.
Was part of the negotiated settlement.
Correct.
But you haven't had any input on how it's going to be renovated? That seems to be counterintuitive.
No, we have in the sense that a city employee, and her name is escaping me right now, has actually been working with the Rio Nuevo Board putting that together. And our staff has actually been working well with the Rio Nuevo Board, keeping them in the loop. Now, what I have not seen officially, and probably will see before the council meeting next week, is what the exact package looks like, although I've been given a sort of an executive summary of it. So we will see it. From all indications, they're doing the right thing, but we have to take a look at it.
And chances of ever expanding it, that's probably well down the road, decade away or more.
Yeah, it is. And you know, part of that conversation is the evolving conversation with what Rio Nuevo with its cash flow can actually do. You know, and I think it's been Councilmember Kozachik's position almost from the beginning that, you know, everything ought to go into the arena because that's about what they'll have the money for. I don't know that that's right, but to do a new arena costs, I understand, a minimum of 50. To totally revamp our current arena costs about a minimum of $55 million. And, of course, to do a new arena, much more. So that's a conversation that we're not really even at yet because nobody's seeing that.
And that's a chicken and egg discussion, right? You need a tenant to help pay for all the dates first. It's not a if we build it, they will come situation.
No, and the chicken and egg is also having those hotel rooms around.
Right.
And you know, and so that's why when you hear from about Norville or Steitler or somebody else, and quite honestly, in the private sector, people aren't out building hotels these days. So it's a tough proposition, but we got to work on it.
There have been many complaints about the bathrooms at the TCC.
Correct.
No new bathrooms, I understand, will be added, but we're told the existing ones will get kind of an upgrade, aesthetic upgrade.
Yeah, my understanding of the plan that's coming forward is it's really a bang for the buck plan. So you're talking paint, you're talking signage, you're talking cleanup, and you're talking cleaning up those bathrooms. Those bathrooms, well, if you've been there, you know.
And the Alan Norville properties that are to the west of the TCC, between the freeway there, there's been some hard feelings between the city and Alan Norville over the years. Now he's gone to the Rio Nuevo Board to pitch a plan to them, but the city would still control the land use oversight on that. You'd have to give them the planning approvals and whatnot. So
correct.
How is the relationship between the city and Mr. Norville these days?
Well, I have a decent relationship with Mr. Norville, but I try to keep a decent relationship with everybody. Ultimately, it is what business deals brought forward, and until we see it, we can't, you know.
Bobby is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. A very complicated question in a very short amount of time about the pension system. Quickly, Bobby, please.
I'll be quick. Mr. Mayor, do you think the political will exists at the city to for the you folks to go up against the public safety unions on the making changes to the pension system? Thank you.
Well, two things, and I want to be clear, and I know we are short on time. One, I have and council has agreed to create a pension task force where we sit and essentially collectively bargain with that union and try to make changes, because changes are going to have to be made, and it's just a question of when people understand it. What I also want to be clear on is there's a petition circulating right now to look at the civil service pension system, and I can tell you whether those the folks who brought that are good intentioned or not, that is a proposition that will seriously damage the city in terms of having to contribute to a pension system without benefiting the employees, and it's a longer answer, and I know we don't have much time.
About five seconds.
It's important, so let's continue that conversation.
Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, try to stay cool as you're out and about this weekend.
I'm going to try to stay in, and I'm going to recommend that to a lot of people.
Yeah, I really should. Thanks a lot for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mark.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is in South Africa starting the second leg of his three-country African journey. The visit comes as former South African president and anti-apartheid hero Nelson Mandela is ailing in a Johannesburg hospital. Residents and visitors being allowed back into the southwestern Colorado town of South Fork a week after they were forced to evacuate by a massive wildfire. Massachusetts State Police say a man who had been sought in connection with the murder case against former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez has been arrested in Florida. A federal appeals court is upholding an ordinance from an eastern Nebraska city that bans employing or renting property to people who are in the country illegally. The ruling clears the way for the city of Fremont to start enforcing that law. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, this is Terry Live coming to you from EG's on Oracle, just south of Orange Grove. We're going to be out here till 1 o'clock with our Wheel of Prizes. All this month, all 23 area EG's are offering their annual coupon card. It's just $7. You get $72 in savings for the year ahead. You can only buy it for the rest of the month. And EG's is known by all of you for their frozen delicious drinks. And this month is Mango Tango and, of course, their hearty grinder sandwiches, salads, and fries. You know you can use an ice cold EG's on a 112-day, right? So when you purchase a $7 coupon card, you'll be helping EG's to help the Pio Decimal Center for Families and Children and Youth on Their Own, supporting homeless youth through assistance and guidance to graduate from high school and start a better life. We're going to be out here till 1 o'clock today at the EG's on Oracle, just south of Orange Grove. Come by and spin the prize wheel and have an EG's with us. This is Terry Live at 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me in studio on the roundtable, Mark Evans, administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. It's a website which is a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is one of the proud contributors. Also with me, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for us, the Buckmaster Show live line is now open at 790-2040. I've already said hello to Mark, so I now say hello to Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And remember, we do have this excessive heat warning, Sarah and I, and not saying Mark isn't, but Sarah and I are very involved. We love our animals and our four-legged creatures. Just like 6 months ago when we had all the hard freeze warnings, how hard it was on the animals. Well,
yep.
It's pretty hard on the animals, too. And I guess this form of animal,
yes.
The human species,
yes.
Too. But it's bad when it gets over 110.
It is. It is. Please keep your dogs inside and make sure they have plenty of water and access to shade.
My dogs won't go outside. I open the patio door and they just stand and look at me now.
Yeah.
It's too hot out there. Are you crazy?
This has been an amazing week. Two very important decisions from the Supreme Court. It started with the High Court altering laws on voting. And really, Arizona is one of the big impacted. There's eight states that were really impacted by the voting situation, right, Mark?
Right. So what it was a lawsuit filed out of Texas against the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and specifically two parts of the law, Section 4 and Section 5. Section 4 sets up the rules for if a state has violated election laws, the federal election laws, that they can be put under federal oversight. And then Section 5 is how the federal oversight is conducted. It's called preclearance. So if you've been naughty in the past and landed on the federal government's list, from then on, any changes that you wanted to make to your election systems had to get federal approval. And this county in Texas sued. And that's what the Supreme Court took up. And it was a very close decision. It was 5-4. It was the conservatives versus the liberals. And what they did is, rather than struck down Section 5, they struck down Section 4. So even though Section 5 preclearance is still in exist, there's no rules for being on the list. So Section 5 becomes worthless. So what that means for Arizona is that every time Arizona wants to make a change to its election laws, it doesn't have to get the federal government's approval. Now, the Arizona over the past 20 something years has gone to the federal government 80, 90, 100 times asking for changes, mm-hmm. and the federal government has okayed 90% of them. And even when it says no, that's not okay, there weren't any sanctions for it. You just simply changed it to match what the federal government said needed to be changed. So I don't think there's going to be any significant immediate effect of this ruling on Arizona unless you start seeing some shenanigans up at the legislature where the Republican majority might try to take advantage of it and get laws passed that they might not have tried to attempt before because they knew they would have had to go through preclearance, and now they won't.
I wonder if it will affect the voter ID controversy that's going on. I don't know.
I don't know specifically if it will, but
no, it won't. That was a separate ruling by the Supreme Court where they said that Arizona could not require people who register to vote using the federal form to show ID, but they can still be required to show the ID if you're using the state form.
So I think one thing to keep in mind, and this is the case, this is a sort of thing that concerns me, whether no matter which party is in the majority in any particular state, I think we need to be especially careful and pay attention when. And there's a state legislature of either party in Arizona, it's Republicans, that can make voter laws that or election laws that, that affect the turnout. I mean, whether it's voter ID or different requirements or deadlines or who can do what, I think we need to, it's always a good idea to have that sort of second pair of eyes looking at it. And so that is what dismays me about the Supreme Court ruling.
The other Supreme Court ruling, and again, Mark, it was 5-4 on the two rulings concerning same-sex marriage. That those rulings will not affect Arizona at this particular point. It was affecting mainly the 12 states where same-sex marriage is okay.
Right. The Defense of Marriage Act is a federal law that restricts the receiving benefits or anything that you might receive from the federal government. And I think there's like 1,000 instances where marriage is referenced in the various federal rules and regulations and laws. That was restricted it to being between a man and a woman. So what the court did was strike that down and say that that's discriminatory. So that only affects the federal government. It doesn't affect the states where same-sex marriage is allowed, and it doesn't affect the states where same-sex marriage is not allowed. However, the ruling was quite strong in its language about it being discriminatory. So probably what that means is now that anybody else who brings suit that they've been discriminated against because they were trying to enter into a same-sex mm-hmm. marriage and were prevented or whatever, or already in one and couldn't receive benefits because they moved from one state to another, that if they were to make it back to the Supreme Court and this same 9 jurists are there, the discriminatory laws would be defeated. So I think what this is the beginning of the victory for same-sex marriage being recognized in the United States. It's just going to take several years for it all to play out.
I agree with that. It's the first step in what will be a long process, but probably not as long as I think we'll look back at it in a couple years and be surprised at how quickly things fell into place. And while I wish the court had struck down made it unconstitutional to prevent same-sex couples from marrying, and I think it's better than nothing.
One of the stories, and I think the pictures were prominently displayed in the Arizona Daily Star about the Jaguar.
Yes.
Down in the area of the proposed Rosemount Mine. Let's bring in Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. Dan covers the Rosemount story for us here on the Buckmaster Show, and Dan, of course, one of our roundtable contributors. Dan, is this going to make any difference, these pictures and these latest sightings of the Jaguar, any difference as far as the federal government is concerned about the Rosemount mine?
Well, the term we're looking at, Bill, is critical habitat. How bad does the jaguar or the willow flycatcher, which they're also looking at, how bad do they need this area? And the fact is that one jaguar is not going to stand in the way of the mine. It'll be interesting to see how U.S. Fish and Wildlife handles this. They're actually looking at, I think, about 12 species. But if you want a bottom-line answer, this is not going to stand in the way of the mine. There are some bigger things coming down the pike that are much more interesting, including on Monday we're going to get the at least a draft of the final environmental impact statement from the Forest Service, and we're told that that's going to be about 2,000 pages.
Wow.
And they also on that day are going to be meeting with 17 what they call cooperating agencies, and they have 30 days to get in their thoughts about it before the final EIS is released. And it's important to note that while those cooperating agencies are allowed to weigh in, they're not looking for any more public comment. They've had enough of that.
Hey, Dan, doesn't the Fish and Wildlife Service have, doesn't the Forest Service, when it's preparing an economic impact statement, don't they go to the other federal agencies to get them to sign off? Didn't FWS sign off on that EIS?
They do. That does have to happen, and so we'll see what happens with this. But they're waiting for it to come out, and then I think we're just told sometime after the draft is released next week, but before the final one is in, which is supposed to be due at the end of September, I believe, the final environmental impact statement, we will hear from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife on this. So, Rosemount would like us to think that the only two hurdles they have to clear are the Forest Service signing off on it, and then the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is going to make a decision on whether Rosemont can dump their fill material into the waters. That's that 404 permit. But really, it's not that simple. There's a lot more out there because there are challenges to a couple of the permits, and it's a very complex process. And so, in one sense, we're coming to the end of this. In another sense, we're really not.
Okay. Dan Scheer, thank you very much for giving us an update. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Sarah, we just had those pictures from the Star website, StarNet. Rose pulled those up, our wonderful producer. That is one beautiful cat.
He is magnificent. Would you want to be cruising along a trail and hello?
Really magnificent. Incorporation, something you know a little bit about because you covered the incorporation wars up in, what was it, Oral
Valley,
Casasnovi, all that area in the late 90s. Vail, folks in Vail going to vote on it November the 5th.
Yeah, there was a change in state law three years ago that was written specifically with Vail in mind that liberalized the rules that prevented governments that would have incorporations on their borders from being able to veto those. But more importantly, there was a change in attitude from the city of Tucson. So when they tried to allow for incorporations in the county in 1997, city of Tucson fought it tooth and nail and finally killed it in the courts. And some cities that had already incorporated were forced to disincorporate. But with this one, there's been a complete change of thought at the city, and the city was more than happy to have Vail incorporate. And so they signed off on it, so did Sarita. So it's going to be on the ballot. They got enough signatures. It's going to be on the ballot in November. And I think it's a net good to the region as a whole. It would bring in the state apportions up some of the taxes that we pay to the state as state shared revenues, but they give a little extra portion to municipalities. So because we have about a third of our population in the county not living in a municipality, we lose out on that money. So getting more people into municipalities will actually benefit that. It gives the people in Vail a little more say over their roads, their parks, their police. The only thing that I think they need to be quite aware of is that there's no way they're going to run that town on state shared revenues. They're going to have to pass a tax. And I think they should be upfront and forthright about that as they go through in their campaign to get this thing passed. They say, look, you're going to have to pay some money for this through a sales tax, of at least a sales tax, in order to make this town viable.
Yeah, Mark and I spent many hours covering Casas Adobes and Tortolita and the annexation wars. Incorporation wars. I think Vail incorporating is a good, like Mark was saying, a net benefit to the area. But I also agree that nothing is free. You have to be very upfront, and people need to be aware that with if you want more control over making local decisions, those things have to be funded, and that comes at a cost, which you're in the. By saying yes, we want to incorporate, you're essentially signing yourself up for some sort of payment, whether it's a property tax or a sales tax or however it ends up coming.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. It is the Friday Reporters Roundtable. We had Senator Jeff Flake on the Buckmaster Show this week talking about the immigration reform, which, Sarah, it did pass the Senate. Now the big question, and Senator Flake wasn't even ready to make any kind of prediction on the House. That's going to be really... That could go on a while.
Yeah. And for all the hard, good work that the Senate has done, including, our Senators Jeff Flake and John McCain from Arizona, it's a whole different ballgame when you get into the House. And the leaders on that side are saying they're not inclined to just say, we'll go along with what the Senate said and pass that. So I think it's going to be a long slog, and we're hopefully going to come out in the end of it with improved policies on immigration, more fair, more humane, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Your columnist, Tim Steller from The Star, last Sunday had an interesting piece, Mark, about the immigration and doubling the number of immigration agents. And Tim was saying that there really isn't enough manpower the way it is right now along the border.
Right. I mean, we talk about these numbers like you know, double
go from what, 10 to 20,000 or something.
But you have to get qualified people. You have to get them trained up. You have to get them ready to serve. And they're having a hard time finding enough really quality, good people as it is. So you can't just magically make people appear.
Plus, with the reduction in illegal immigration, they've got Border Patrol agents right now are sitting around in their cars doing nothing, twiddling their thumbs because there's nothing to do. I mean, this is just a number that was, it's political gamesmanship. It's saying, okay, well, we're going to throw another 20,000 people down there simply to get the immigration hawks to agree to go along with all the other changes in the path to citizenship and the like. So, as far as in the House, nothing's going to happen this year. They're going to go on their July 4th break here in a couple of days. They're going to be back for a couple of weeks. It's not going to get agendized. It's not going to get out of committee. Then they're going to be gone for a month. They take August off.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to come back in September and get rolling again. Maybe we might see this in front of some committees in the fall.
Then it's an election year.
And then it's an election year after that.
That's
so
ever going to pass.
I think Boehner's going to have a really hard time meeting the Hastert rule. I don't think he's ever going to get enough Republican votes to pass it with just Republican votes and no Democrats. And if he tries to bring it to the floor and have to rely on Democratic votes, he'll probably lose his speakership.
And congratulations to our friends at Tucson International Airport. Always good to see a nonstop flight. We'll be starting November 1st, Tucson to Portland on Alaska Airlines. Sarah, I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Stay cool. Mark, same to you.
I'm heading for the pool.
Oh, there you go. We'll have Weekend Watch coming up next. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grand County, New Mexico, where the upcoming Clay Festival is July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And boy, does this jump out at you. 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City, where they have that mile-high elevation. It would sure feel good this weekend, wouldn't it? Many nice places to stay in the area, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Ridge Park RV Park, and Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage writer and award-winning Tucson publicist, who today broke out the Speedo bathing suit for the first time. When it goes over 110, he breaks out the Speedo. How you doing, Matt?
Well, just suffice it to say, I'm happy that we do not have any client meetings at the agency today because we have a very relaxed dress code. You said Speedo. I was thinking fig leaf. But whatever it is, we don't have any meetings today. We're grateful.
Oh, I'm sure. And everybody's going to be trying to think about heading for the nearest swimming hole as soon as possible, or finding a nice happy hour in a very nice air-conditioned setting.
Yeah, absolutely. On this hot Friday, Bill, a great way to keep cool for happy hour is at Tapas Fusion over on Campbell Avenue right near Glen. This place is all about Spanish flair, and I think the ice-cold sangrias and pisco sours will be perfect for today. And they're both a buck off during happy hour, so why not? Now, they're going to be featuring all-you-can-eat tapas today, including more than 20 different choices for only $20. So I say no better place to cool down today than for happy hour at Tapas Fusion.
Boy, you can sure make a meal out of those tapas, can't you?
Oh, indeed. Don't be sorry to see me coming. All you can eat, I'm always the first in line.
You can also make a meal, of course, out of a beautiful rib dinner and Saturday's rib night at our friends over at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, with July 4th right around the corner, you know, these guys are getting an early start. It's going to be rib night tomorrow night from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Whole Foods right over there on River and Craycroft. They're going to be kicking out some great ribs, which they prepare on site in their house smoker for only $8.49 a pound. So you can either take them home with you and enjoy them in your own backyard, or you can do what I do and belly right up to the Whole Foods bar and enjoy them right there with a cold draft beer. This is going to be a great place to roll up your sleeves and have some great ribs on Saturday night.
Hey, how are the Tucson Originals doing? Who has the great summer special tonight?
Renee's Organic Oven. You get a glass of wine, a small pizza, and if there's room, a slice of flourless chocolate cake for only $20 this weekend and all summer long.
Stay cool, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, it of course, Monday is our Monday political face-off for the first half hour of the show. Then, Monday marks the start of a new fiscal year, so it would be very appropriate and that we bring in, and we are, Marshall Vest, the University of Arizona economic forecaster, and his associate George Hammond, and they will be giving us an update, kind of looking ahead for the next fiscal year. How did we do in the just concluded year? So that will be our economic forecast with Marshall Vest and George Hammond. That is coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. A big shout out and thank you to our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Boy, does a Culligan water taste good on a day like this. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose does such a wonderful job producing this show and handling all of the calls that come in a very courteous manner. We thank her very much for her input on this program. And our new team member, Broadcast Sales Representative Bob Richardson. Also, I want to remind you that coming up tomorrow morning, it's Expert Talk starting here on KVOI. We will have the Garden Show with Phil Cedar, the gardening expert. And of course, boy, when it gets to be over 110 degrees, as Phil would say, our potted plants, those plants in the pot, really, the temperatures, they heat up so much, you really do need to water in the morning and late in the day as well on days like this. And of course, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, their program coming up on Monday morning from 6 to 8. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe and cool weekend. Talk to you at 12:04 Monday afternoon.